Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago, joined by Blackhawks insider from NBC Sports Chicago, Tracy Myers. What's up, Tracy?
Hi. We're back home, at least for a little bit.
Yes, we're home for a little bit. We're in the brand spanking new Blackhawks Community Center, which
very
is
pretty.
Awesome.
Yeah, very shiny.
Everything's new. It smells new, just in case anybody wanted to hear in podcast land. It smells new. It is impressive. Everything pretty much this organization does, it doesn't surprise you, but they've been a gold standard for better part of a decade now. They deserve a facility like this.
Yeah, there's it's almost like it's like Detroit when they went from the Joe to their current place. You know, that old place had a certain amount of charm to it.
Right.
There's no doubt. But at the same time, it's like, ooh, this is nice and pretty and updated and big, especially, and from a media standpoint, fans didn't have to ever see this. But the Johnny's room was so small and trying to, especially once the end of the season and playoffs and everything, the wiggle room in there trying to get players was insane. So, from a purely our standpoint, views and getting into the locker room and having ample space and everything, it's a beautiful thing.
So the Hawks back home after an impressive run last week where they take care of the Rangers and the Penguins on Saturday night. Yeah. They'll make their way down to South Florida and Tampa area beginning Tuesday. Mm-hmm. By far, they're playing their best hockey to date if you take those first two games of the season out of the equation. It was a nice little run here.
Yeah, and I think as I was watching the game on Saturday, I personally think if they played everybody like they played Pittsburgh, you look back at some of those games, but moving forward, that's probably the way that was such an entertaining game, strictly from a hockey standpoint. Just a tremendous game between those two. They seem to bring out the best in each other, but of the three, I also thought that was their best game of just those three because the defense was tightened up, in terms of Corey still had to do some work, but, keeping the Penguins in that offense to one game, I don't care if Crosby's struggling or not. You got to be ready for him to break out of it at any time. The Rangers game was a huge step, and also for Anisimov. I think he really needed a game like that. He's shown spurts of getting back to normal, but I think just overall, he's looked better. So no, they're trending in the right direction, if we like to use that phrase, and at a good time. We're a quarter of the way through the season.
So Anisimov gets the hat trick against his old mates, the Rangers. Yep. Then he follows it up with the game winner in Pittsburgh. And if I had my fancy Piero video enhancer that we have at NBC Sports Chicago to show you the area that he scored from, it would be right around that blue paint.
Yep.
And we beat it to death.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time on the podcast, on the pre and the post game shows, net front presence. If more players did what Anisimov did, I think more of them would look at their stat sheet and see what he's seeing right now. A lot of ink next to his name.
Yeah, it's not a fun job. And Andrew Shaw, of course Andrew Shaw enjoyed it because he's nuts.
Yeah, right.
God bless him. I mean that in the best possible way. But he truly enjoyed getting hacked, whacked, smacked, down in front of the net because, like you said, it's worth it for the points. Now, Anisimov's a bigger body, and so, you expect guys like that to do it certainly more often and on more of a regular basis. So there's no doubt, it's taking a game, and hey, I'm not out there taking the punishment and everything, but as far as goals, it's the same things we hear all the time. It's make it simple, take the shots, get in front of the net, take the goalie's eyes away and everything. It's one thing to say it, now they're actually doing it, and voila, results.
We're seeing some results on the positive side on the Hawks power play. They were two for five in the Pittsburgh game. So both of their goals came on the man advantage. So did the shorty that they allowed as well. So they were plus one for those of you scoring at home. You talked to the guys on Monday about the power play, and what were they saying in regards to the man advantage?
Kind of the same thing, you know, about the simple things. You know, I talked to Cody Franson, and I talked to him a while back when it wasn't going so well and what some of the issues were, and it was, you know, need more of a net front presence, and it might have been guys getting a little too cute and all of, you know, the things that have plagued their power play through the years, and they've gotten away from that. I look at the power play when they were against the Penguins on Saturday, even the ones they didn't score. I just liked the movement. I liked that they were passing quicker. They were passing also a little less. They were taking more shots. They were there for the rebounds. It was just all those little things that we've talked about were put into practice. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, you get one against, you know, a couple games ago against New Jersey. I know that game kind of was a mess, but
right.
That started it, where you get when confidence is just such a ridiculous thing. I don't care if it's life. I don't care if it's your work. If you're confident that you can do it, it's an amazing difference. And so they started getting them, and all of a sudden they go out there now and think, okay, we got this again. So I think it's a combination of all those things. But it's just basically getting down to what they know works and implementing it on a regular basis. And, you know, even when that power play is not scoring now, it looks better and it's keeping the momentum as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you touched on it a little bit, too, when we first started about the defense and how they're contributing to, on this surge. And, you mentioned Franzen. You can look at Forsling, who scored in the last game, and Ruta getting shots through, getting shots on net. And they're not always the big windup, and it might be coming off the board and a half slapper, but it's the timeliness of it, getting it there quick without it being blocked, and setting up the loose change for John Hayden to knock in, Anisimov to do it. Your thoughts on what you've seen and what Joel has talked about from the defensive core, how they've been a part of this team that's now trending upwards.
Yeah, he's liked it. You know, he especially talked of Forsling and Ruta this morning on the power play, on the penalty kill, and just the confidence that they're showing. And Ruta seems to have had it from the start. You know, I mean, he came in and everything that you thought was going to be an issue for a guy coming from across the pond, he's like, so the ice surface is different. We still got to play the player. Yeah, right. Good point. With Forsling, it was okay. We all know that Q wanted you to jump off the levels from last year's training camp. You didn't. How do you deal with that this year? With him taking those shots, you're seeing a guy who realizes, okay, I've got one. I need to take it more. And of course, when it goes in, you start feeling a little bit better about it. But I think overall, you can see much more of a confidence with him this year. And that's what they need. They need guys who are sure of themselves out there, even if they don't have that much experience in the past of penalty kill, power play, whatever it may be. We can go back, you know, to the days when he got Frolik and Kruger to start PKing. You know, I don't think their background was rich in it, but it's like, hey, give it a shot. You're good defensive players. It works, you know, and so that leads to a lot more confidence. It leads to the coach trusting them more. It's a team game, as we've said many times, but you're starting to see more contributions from everybody, and they need the defensemen in on the scoring as much as the forwards.
So here we are 20 games in, and you know, as of Saturday night, they were in a wild card spot. I didn't check today, but do you know the identity of this team? Do you have your finger on the pulse of what this team actually is 20 games in?
I think I'm starting to get it. You know, you looked at the first two games. You looked at the first two games and you thought, okay, this is really an incredibly explosive team. Then you went the entire different direction. And you thought, okay, just settle in the middle somewhere. That seems to be what's going on right now, is okay, you just need that balance again of great defense and getting enough offense. So I found it ironic that right as they were going into Pittsburgh again, they were starting to play really good hockey. And so, no, I think it's just finding that balance. So I think they're trending in the right direction. That's the best way I can put it right now. I think the chemistry in the lines is starting to click better. I think the defensemen, even some of these newer guys, are starting to get more familiar with their roles, what Quenneville's expecting from them. So I think it's absolutely going in the right direction.
And a huge test on Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, against the top team in the NHL, Tampa Bay. That could be a track meet. Get ready.
Speaking of a team that really has its identity set, they are doing very well.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch. Great stuff as always, Tracy.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you down the road. Coming up next on the Hawks Talk podcast, Jamal Mayers joins me.
Join Mark Schanowski and Dan Jiggetts for Bears Huddle, presented by Verizon. Preview the next opponent with in-depth player matchups for the upcoming game. Plus, hear from offensive coordinator Dow Loggins every Wednesday at 4:30 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle and Jamal Mayers with you. As the Hawks get ready to make their way to Tampa on Wednesday for their Thanksgiving Eve contest, I got to think the confidence level of this team has changed dramatically from where it was a couple of weeks ago to now these two wins against the Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Maybe they're feeling a little different about themselves right now as they make their way to Florida.
Yeah, there's no question. I think that, you know, you gain confidence from big wins, and having, you know, going in, you knew the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to have their A game. You knew Pittsburgh Penguins haven't lost in regulation at home yet this season. You knew that they have guys who could score goals, and they had a power play that was absolutely clicking. And so they were challenged. Before the game even started, they knew they would have to be on top of the game. Give them credit. They showed up. They played extremely hard. They got unbelievable goaltending from Corey Crawford. But they can certainly gain confidence and bottle that up. And I'm talking, Pat, about that compete level that they showed, the sacrifices that they made going down the stretch as the Pittsburgh Penguins were pushing back and really making a push to get that tying goal. They made sacrifices. They played hard to get the puck out and preserve the victory.
When you look at some of the key players here over the last week and change, Artem Anisimov is at the top of the list. I mean, he gets the GWG in Pittsburgh. He had the hat trick in the game prior. We had that question on the pregame show before Pittsburgh. And the question was something to the effect, are there enough Blackhawks players committed to net front presence? And we differed on that. I think on a consistent basis, the answer to that question is no. I will say at least Anisimov is leading the charge. But it is an area I feel like we beat this drum like once a week, but there needs to be more consistency there, and it must get frustrating for the coaches to talk about it, because I know it's frustrating for us to continue to talk about it.
Yeah, and I think some of that has to be put back on the players. And I think that if you're a player sitting there and you're a younger player and, you know, you've been in the NHL for a year or 2 years, and I'm talking about Panics of the world, I'm talking about Hartman and Hayden and guys like Tanner Carroll for that matter, there's a glaring opportunity for you to step up and do that on a consistent basis. And when you see the captain doing it, when you see your better players making an effort to get there, you have to start doing it. We're going to need more from a guy like Brendan Saad. He can't play on the outside. When he does that, he's very ineffective. He has to play on the interior. He has to find a way to get to the front of the net. I still feel like he has more to give. He started the season fantastically because he was going to that net. He was getting there on a consistent basis. Pucks were getting there, and he was scoring goals. That's why he started with 6 goals in 7 games. He has to get back to doing that as well. I thought, even though Jonathan Toews, I don't even believe he got on the score sheet, this was one of his best games tonight, and he did a great job of really going head-to-head all night long against Sidney Crosby.
As we all look at some of the other players that have stood out here, DeBrincat has been fantastic. He now has a 4-game point streak, and it, you know, it started, about 8 games ago when he got a couple of empty netters in back-to-back games. I really like this kid's confidence. He does not look like a teenager on the ice.
It's crazy. It's all his demeanor. You see him being interviewed. You see after he scores a goal. He's cool, calm, and collected. He's not rattled by anything. He doesn't care who he's playing with. He plays the exact same way. And Joel Quenneville calls it play recognition. I call it patience and awareness, and his ability to hold onto the puck and make the appropriate play. Whether the play in that instance is to shoot, he'll shoot it. If the better play is to pass it or hold onto it, that's what he'll do. So he's not big. I've said it before. He's not fast. He's not strong, but he's amazingly smart. He gets to the areas when he has to. He has a nose for the net, and he's quite responsible defensively. That's what I'm surprised about. And you wonder why Joel puts him out there late in games and why he has a couple, two or three empty net goals. It's because he is responsible defensively. And give him credit. For offensive guys, that's usually the last thing to come, but not for this kid.
Kane had an assist in Pittsburgh. He now has, 17 points in 13 career games against Pittsburgh. I know he must be a little frustrated because there's some production on that line. I'm sure he'd like to see his goal total. He was jumping on Saturday night, at least to start the game. And, it's going to come for him, but right now he's trying to find the – I mean, Schmaltz is playing well. Obviously, Anisimov has been scoring. I got to think 88's production is going to be right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be concerned if he wasn't getting opportunities. And I think that's how he – I mean, obviously, when he doesn't score and he gets a few chances, he had 5 shots on goal, eight attempts on Saturday.
And a helper. So
he's got to be happy with that. And I think that he's a really smart player. He knows and he's honest with himself in his self-evaluation. He probably wasn't happy with his game about 2 weeks ago. I think it's turned around since. His line mates are the benefactors of that, and his numbers will certainly follow shortly after.
We'll get to the defenseman in just a second. Corey Crawford, an incredible game against Pittsburgh. The saves he made on Kessel, Gensel, Malkin at key times throughout the game. The leg save on Phil Kessel with 17 seconds to go. You said it, save of the year. I mean, for now.
Well, you think about the moment, and you think about who the shooter is in Phil Kessel, and I know he doesn't like to one-time pucks, and maybe if he does, that's a goal, but Corey Crawford, he has to respect Gensel because he's in the immediate slot between the hashes, and he has enough presence of mind to see out of the periphery of his eyesight that there is a player, and a pretty good one, off to his right in Phil Kessel, and he pushes off and flashes that right pad and preserves a victory with 19 or 17 seconds left in the game. A spectacular save.
Great challenge from Joel Quenneville, Matty Meacham, and the coaching staff there. I mean, Olimata, that is the definition of goaltender interference. It was nice to see. Like, I mean, I still cringe every time because we can watch the same game and go, well, that's goalie interference, and then they go, no, it's not. It was nice to see a call finally go their way because a couple this year have gone against the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think there was a few things that were in his favor. One is that he was in the blue paint. Two, he got twisted away from where the shot went.
Good point.
And so because of those two things, I think that it was a no-brainer. But you're right. How many times have we watched and said that's absolutely
Or that's onside, and then,
And then they're wrong. So, it's nice to see it go the way we thought it should go. For once.
All right. We all admitted the loss of Hjalmarsson, TVR. The back end was the biggest question mark coming into the season. And I think early on in the first 15, 16 games, we said, oh, yeah, that sure enough, it is. Connor Murphy doesn't look like he's ready for top 4 minutes. But in the last week, there has been some consistent play. Forsling has looked better. He gets a goal on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. We've seen Jan Ruta at times make positive plays in key moments. And we've also seen, Duncan Keith's been paired with, name escaping me right now.
With Franzen.
Franzen, yeah. And Franzen, is a rookie in this league, or is a veteran in this league, but he has brought some consistency to that pairing. So it's been nice to see guys get shots through and kind of reverse the narrative that, these defensemen are just not ready for big-time minutes.
It really helps me learn what it must be like for a coach, because I think they have the same exact concerns going into the season. And I think they realize, we've got to play these 7 guys, and we've got to let their play dictate and figure out who are going to be our top 6. And to me, really has been evident that Forsling is ready for more. He's ready to take on more ice. Ruda's proven it over 20 games now. It's not a luck thing. He's not riding a wave. This is who he is as a player. He's going to assume more. And I think that's going to alleviate some of the pressure from Duncan Keith having to play north of 25 minutes a night. It's going to allow Brent Seabrook to have energy to use his offensive instincts and not play 20-plus minutes a night, maybe be less than 20 minutes a night. And then they're not going to have to force, you know, obviously, Connor Murphy into a role that he's not suited for or not ready for. So to me, it's funny how things happen organically and how they happen throughout the course of a season. And maybe they were hoping that this would come like this, but I think they're kind of coming together. They were moving the puck. You think about how that first period and a half went Saturday night. They were moving the puck.
Yeah.
They were getting through the neutral zone easily because they were moving the puck. They were getting the chances that they needed to get, and they were dominating the play, and it all starts from the back end.
We may see a track meet Wednesday night in Tampa. That should be a fun hockey game with the way, you know, the Lightning like to get up and down. It could be a lot of trading of great scoring chances. As we sit and tape this podcast, the Hawks are in a wild card spot. Through 20 games now, you've seen not only the Hawks, but you've seen the rest of the division, the West. Do you feel every week when we do this podcast, they're going to be kind of hanging around? Or is this team capable of going, you know, and winning 7 of 9, 7 of 10 to give themselves some breathing room and to, you know, not make this a nip and tuck playoff discussion each and every week?
No, I think this is going to be a battle all year.
Okay.
I think that's what's happened in this league, especially because there's been some surprises. St. Louis wasn't expected to get out to such a great start. They're starting to come back down to earth a little bit, but with the injuries they had to start the season, that was a surprise. The Winnipeg Jets have really been surprising. On a disappointment side, I think the Dallas Stars have started out, you know, slower than people anticipated. They're going to get better. And so it's going to be a battle all year long. But I think that's okay. I think that this, and that sounds strange, they might finish between 5th and 8th, but they're better suited for the playoffs.
Yeah, so no, I think, it's a great point.
You know, it's going to be okay. I think their goal is not to, again, win the President's Trophy and lose in the second round. They want to be hard to play against. They want to be fast, and they are changing their style a little bit to win, not just to be the best team in the regular season.
Look, winning the West, going away easily with a week plus to go in the regular season, how far did that get them last year?
Exactly.
Nowhere. I mean, it's different. Playing meaningful games in November and December, it's a different thing. But like you said, it may prep them to be more playoff ready.
Right. And they're going to have guys and those fourth line guys. I really looked to the game against the Rangers, and Joel had that fourth line out there, and they didn't stop playing. They were hitting, they were physical, and there was less than 2 minutes left. And that's the way you're going to have to play in the playoffs when you meet up against a team like Nashville, when you meet up against a team like Winnipeg. You're going to have to wear teams down. You're going to have to play physical. You're going to have to get your nose dirty to match them and their intensity and the way they want to forecheck. And they're building toward that. They're becoming a better team. It's taken some time for them to figure out who they are, and I really can't stress it enough. I hope they said that in the room today, that this is the formula for us to win. And it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. And if we continue this, and if we lie to ourselves and think that it's good enough, it's not, because this is how we have to play.
Great stuff as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too. Enjoy it.
And we will see you on the other side. Thank you for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast. For everybody on the Hockey Beat, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.